Hope you guys are wide awake and feeling great tonight. Because I noticed something. I think I told you guys this, but I noticed something about myself. I get energized by positive feedback from my audience. You know what I mean? What, Will? Thank you. I like this guy. Now, all of a sudden, I feel energetic, man. This is good. All right, we're in Matthew chapter 13 tonight. But when people are snoozing on me,
call them out.
Who said that? Is that Tyler that said that? Hey, you check it out for me, buddy. All right. Back row. I'll have to be looking carefully there. It's interesting, guys. I mean, hey, I've repented from the past that my music preferences are the right preferences, because I know everybody has different tastes and they're all good if the words are scriptural. But you know, Jesus talks about him and John the Immerser, right? And the different, you know, basically people who didn't want to follow the truth weren't willing to follow either one of those guys. And, you know, Jesus said that, you know, John came neither eating nor drinking. And he said he has a demon. He said the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, you know, a gluttonous man and a drunkard. Do you remember what Jesus compared that to before? He said, you guys are like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and said, you know, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. So I think, you know, the flute and the dance, that's good. And there's a place for the dirge and the mourn. But tonight, a couple of those, man, I think we were on the dirge side. So, words are great, and it's good, and there's a place for that, and it's good because this world does, you know, it's not supposed to feel like heaven. So, it's certainly a relevant stuff, but anyways, you guys give me some positive feedback for tonight is what I'm saying. Okay? Alright, if I preach the truth. Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going. We'll be in verses 47 through 50. A couple things. Recently, the last little bit of time, I've been, my New Testament part of my daily Bible reading has been through the letters to Timothy and to Titus. And one of the things that, like, you can't read through those and miss the emphasis that the Scripture has on the importance of sound doctrine. It's just, I mean, this is inspired, the Holy Spirit inspired letters from the Apostle Paul to a couple of evangelists, and the emphasis on them teaching and preaching sound doctrine. And, you know, one of the things that you pick up on from 2 Timothy chapter 4 is that people will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, right? They want to have their ears tickled. And so wanting to have their ears tickled, they're willing to pay people to tell them what they want to hear. And there are a lot of preachers who are willing to make a living doing that. But, you know, for a preacher to do that, I mean, there's warnings in the Scripture, and I was thinking about that and praying about it, but, you know, thinking about the responsibility that I have, you know, but how does that happen? Well, you have to be open to it yourself. Elena asked me a question tonight at the dinner table. She'd been reading through 1 Samuel. And you know, Saul, when he disobeys God with the Amalekites and doesn't kill Agag, and then he doesn't put to death, you know, all of the animals, he just spared the best, right? And later on, of course, his reasoning is we spared the best so that we could offer them up, you know, to you as a sacrifice. But she was asking me, she's like, twice when he's talking to Samuel, he blames the people for that. And so her question was, you know, was it the people or was it him? Well, the Scripture actually says yes, both, right? And, you know, Saul's the king, guys. He was the king of the nation of Israel. And if he disagreed with the people, he didn't have to go along with that. We know from previous things that Saul did that if he disagreed with the people, he was willing to put his foot down. He was open to that himself. It was something he wanted. And so, you know, guys, me, myself, I'll just start here. Like, we have to guard against the desires of the flesh for whatever reasons to want some sort of false doctrine to creep in. False doctrine justifies some sort of sin in your life or somebody else that you don't want to, you know, deal with or offend or whatever the case may be. So we all have a responsibility in reference to that. And, you know, the scripture is just clear. You know, God, I have a responsibility first and foremost, God, guys, before God. You know, and every one of us that going to get up here and preach and teach, we have a responsibility before God. Okay? That what we say is pleasing to Him. You know, Mr. Simpson sometimes in his prayer will talk about, you know, to our audience. Let's go to our audience in prayer. Our audience is the Lord. And we don't ever want to forget that. You know, that there's a solemn charge in the presence of Jesus Christ to preach the word and to preach it accurately. And so, you know, I just want to remind us all, you know, we got a responsibility, guys, to stay committed to sound doctrine. Yes, there are going to be a lot of people that can't handle it. There are going to be a lot of people that don't want to take it. But those aren't the ones ultimately that God's looking for. And so these parables here of the kingdom really go along with that. These are the people that God's looking for. And so in Matthew chapter 13 tonight, we're going to start in verse 47. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, casting the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, Scripture talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a dragnet that goes and gathers all these fish in. Okay? Good and bad. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I'm gonna change this slightly. And I'm not trying to change the words of Jesus. I just want us to understand. Jesus tells parables as something people can relate to. And He's making a spiritual point off of that. Okay? And we are free to do that as well, as long as the points that we're making line up with Scripture, right? That's one of the Jesus teaching tools there. And so, you know, I'm going to slightly shift the fishing thing because I'm not a big fisherman, but the little bit of fishing I've done has not been with a dragnet. And so I'm going to more talk about the kind of fishing that's a little more common to us today. And you might have to help me out here, Uncle Dave, because I know you're kind of a renowned fisherman. And you know any of the other brethren who know a little more about this. But there's some spiritual application, you know, as we see this. Back in Jeremiah chapter 16, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but God talks about restoring the nation of Israel, restoring our fortunes. And in that, He actually talks about He's sending out fishermen. He's sending out hunters. God has that's prophesied in the Old Testament. These are God's people who are doing this. There can be a little question, I think, in Jeremiah 16, whether that's for judgment or for salvation. But I think the end goal is for salvation. Even as you follow that through in Jeremiah 16, it's a little open, I think, to question there. You can check that out yourself. But God prophesies of His people being fishermen and hunters. Go with me to Matthew chapter 4. We all know this one. Just Jesus really gets started on His ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "And walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. He said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' And they immediately left the nets and followed Him. And going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And they immediately left the boat and their father and followed Him." Guys, God has an interest in His people becoming fishermen, fishers of men. The kingdom of heaven is compared to this dragnet that pulls all sorts of fish in. Now, I want to ask you a question. In accordance with God's will, what has He set up? How has He designed the kingdom of heaven to operate like this dragnet? What is it that pulls people in? Let me ask you that question.
The
The Word. The Word of God has to be first and foremost, right? How does that Word of God, how is that taken to people? Lorenzo.
By disciples.
Yeah, by disciples of Jesus Christ. There are, you know, there are no angels who are going to come down and bring this message. I do think there's a few people that dust this thing off and go through it, but most of it is going to happen by somebody else. We talked about that recently. I want to keep working through that a little bit tonight. I want to start by using a little bit of talking about a little bit of regular bait fishing, and you know, the maybe as we start this out. Go with me to, well, I'll ask you guys, the Great Commission. Where do you find that in the Scriptures? What'd you say, Larry?
Matthew 28.
Okay, that's a good one. There's somebody else said something. Lorenzo, what'd you say?
Mark 16.
Both of those are they're passages that are parallel passages. Let's go to Matthew 28. It's one we're probably most familiar with, and let's put this out here, and we're gonna kind of plug through this from a fishers of men sort of perspective. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." One of the great questions, guys, is the question of authority. Why are you doing this? Why do you get to decide who's saved and who's lost? You know, these are the kind of questions that people are going to either in anger ask you, or at least be thinking if they don't come right and ask you, hey, there's authority that's been given to Jesus Christ, and this is what he's, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth, and this is what he then goes on to say. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Pretty basic instructions, but, you know, realistically not always super easy to carry out. I've had a couple people ask me recently, actually a couple from this congregation and somebody from another congregation, like, you know, could we go through a little more, like some of the, like what it takes, like the steps, like how do we learn how to do this? Okay. And we'll talk about that tonight. I'm
going to say
two things, though, by way of preparation on that. Rick Vaught has a really good line that I've heard him say before, and it's evangelism is more caught than taught. Okay. And, I mean, what I mean by that is, I'll just contrast something for a second. You can have Bible college preachers. They've been to Bible college, and they've learned how to preach from behind a pulpit. Okay. Big deal. You know what I mean? They sat in class, and they've learned step one, step two, you know, have your three-point sermons, and here's your introduction. You know, hey, there's something to be said for public communication. But you can go to MSUB and take a public speaking class and learn those things.
When to raise your voice.
Okay. When to raise your voice and when to be quiet. And one of my brothers told me that when I get quiet, they can't hear me anymore. So he just tells me, you guys want the volume up all the time. That's one case where I'll be trying to not tickle your ears, but make sure your ears can hear me at least. So I'll try to keep it up. But, you know, what I'm saying is you can be taught all the principles. It doesn't matter. At some point you got to go do, right? So,
my brother-in-law, it's Karen's brother, he's back in Michigan. He's a very, very good fisherman. You know, we'd go fishing and I go fishing with him, and I know how to cast a reel. I'd cast into a place, reel it back, and I get nothing. He casts in there and he catches a fish. Why? It's experience. It's something that I couldn't even figure it out. We'd walk down the same river and he would catch more fish, or he'd catch fish, and I wouldn't catch any. And It's just that experience of knowing the right, the experience of knowing when to pull, when not to pull, when to let it sit. It's the same thing, you know, if you want to be fishers of men. You can memorize Jay's books, which are fantastic books, tools, but until you're sitting down face to face with people and have to deal with goofy questions or no questions, silence, that's always fun. You got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we will come back to that. So you're ahead of me, but that's all right, Mr. Miller. And sometimes, you know, there's a movie years ago. I don't think I could really encourage everybody to watch this, but it was shot in Montana called The River Runs Through It. And there's a preacher and his sons, and one day they're out fishing, and they come back. They all go to different places, right? And they come back with their fish to show, and the one son pulls his out, the other son, and then says, "Dad goes, you know, the Lord's blessed us all today." And then he pulls his out, and it's the big one. He goes, "He just particularly blessed me." And sometimes, Larry, it's that too, you know. I mean, but we will go into some things. You know, there are some things that I think can help us. And so we want to talk about that tonight in terms of fishing, and I think particularly if we're open to it, you know. And so to not just a classroom setting, but to envision in your mind actually going through this and then be willing to pay the price to try it. You know, you just got to go for it. Larry, some of that is just, like you said, is experience. You've done it. You've done it and pushed through it. But here's another thing I want to say by way of preparation. There was a Oregon family camp years ago, and Bill Compton had asked a number of us to kind of talk about evangelism, some of the key things there. And, you know, I had what I thought were some good practical things, and I got up there and laid those out. And after me, my dad gets up there. And he's like, "Guys, there are no silver bullet. Like, there's nothing." He goes, I was thinking what it's like. He goes, I'm remembering what it was like when I was too afraid to talk to people. I walked around the long way around the hospital, and I'd push my nose up to the window to see if somebody were going to show up. And I remember, you know, going and knocking on doors. And one thing I've noticed about Jeremiah Gold, man, when he knocks on a door, he's not afraid. I like that, you know. But he goes, "I remember what that was like." He's like, what is it that changed? You know, Larry, what is it in that experience now that he wouldn't be that way anymore? He said, "The one thing I'm going to tell you today," he says, I want to stick a sword right into your heart and turn it." He goes, "And pierce your heart and make you bleed for your city." Because he goes, until you care enough about lost souls, there are no tricks, he goes, "When you care, you will find a way." I was like, yeah, that's what I should have said. You know, it was good. So I want those things by preparation. You know what I mean? We can listen and we can talk about this, and I think it's helpful too. I think there are some things in me, but there has to be that foundational desire and care in the first place, and be willing to push through some failures even to get there. So, you know, as my experience with fishing is not much. I fished a little bit with a kid and I never caught anything, Larry. And I was like, why am I going to go sit for hours and not... It's like, I'd rather throw a football or something, you know, and sit here and not catch anything. And I think, you know, guys, part of the plan is to catch fish. You know, if you're going to go fishing, hey, let's try... You know, you might get skunked on certain days, but, like, you don't want to be getting skunked all the time. Or after a while, kill your motivation, right? So Jack Larson, he's taken the boys and me a couple times up to the top of the Bear Tooths a little bit, I think on the other side, and but the very first thing, I am gonna tie this in with fishing. I'm sorry, I'm a little all over the map tonight, but you guys gotta help me out and keep giving positive feedback. It'll make me better. All right, what's Jesus say first in the Great Commission here? What's he say? Go. I've said this before, and I think this is the toughest one, right here. So, I remember one time Jack was going to take us, and his knees were really, really banged up, and he was in bad pain, and at the last minute, you know, we couldn't go. Guess how many fish we caught? Zero. You don't go, you aren't going to catch any fish. I mean, that's a really basic, simple thing. But there's, I think it's important to recognize, you don't go, you're not going to catch any fish. This is important. This is where it starts. You know, one of the things I've tried to teach my kids, if you don't ask, it's a sure no. That's about just anything in life. Sometimes they're a little buggy now because I've taught them to ask, and they push a little, but I'd rather have somebody ask until you have to say, no, you know, than to be afraid to ask. And because in life, particularly in this, it's important. And so, you know, guys, I guess one of the things that I want us to understand from the beginning is, so I hear this a lot, like, if you just live like Christ, if you just walk like Christ in your life, if you just, like, people will be drawn to you and you don't have to. Can you think about what you're saying for a second? Is it possible to live like Christ and walk like Christ without talking to people? Have you read about Christ? Hey, at some point it doesn't matter how Christian you look. You have to open your mouth. At some point it doesn't matter, you know, how Christian you act from a world standpoint, you know, you don't do all the same thing. At some point you gotta talk. You gotta ask. You gotta go. And so, you know, what are some things that it takes to go? You guys help me here. When we're talking about going, what are some just practical things? I don't mean fishing necessarily. Well, you know, at some point we got to get all the tools and everything for fishing. But let's just talk about for evangelistic purposes. What do we mean when we say go? What would this entail? Ideas?
Getting up off the couch.
You know what? And that's the truth. Get up off the couch. Because, you know, I remember when I used to run. It was a long time ago. But especially some of those days, it was so cold, and your mind can give you all sorts of reasons why you don't need to go running today. And you just got to kick yourself out the door. Once you're going for 5 minutes, like, you know, not so bad, and then you get back and you're glad you went. Okay? But it's the same thing, isn't it? You got to get yourself out the door. So I think that's probably step one. Get up off the couch. What'd you say, Levi?
You need somewhere to go.
You need somewhere to go. Hey, what does that mean?
You gotta have people.
What'd you say?
You have to like people. You have to
not
find people.
Yeah, it helps a lot if you like people. Hey, if you don't like them, they're probably going to figure that out pretty quickly. It's like, okay, you're a Jehovah's Witness, aren't you? If you don't knock on my door, if you don't talk to me, you're in trouble and you're going to get more or whatever. Like, the people can tell. Hey, if you're doing this because you have to, rather than you... So, I think like people is pretty good.
You got to... people at the store when you see them.
You got to like fishing. What'd you say? Talk to people when you see them.
Hey, see them at the store.
So talk. Rich. You definitely got to make sure you're equipped. Well, and I will say that may be a little bit even on the next part, make disciples, because the reality of it is, sometimes we're going to go, and this is where we start, and we find out sometimes that there's some equipment that we're missing. Okay? When Jeff and I were in the Philippines, Jeff's made a couple trips prior to me, and thankfully to places, and he's got a list made of stuff that's important on these trips. Well, you found a few more, didn't you, Jeff, that you added to that for next time. So, you know, sometimes you find, you know, that piece of equipment would be good to have next time. So we do got to be equipped. But that's sometimes something that comes in maybe particularly in the next step. Nolan. Good point. So maybe thinking that maybe is a little bit in my next section as far as the bait, but yeah, you got to look, you got to identify those opportunities. I was talking to Christiana today, and one of the ways I phrase that sometimes is find somebody's eternity button. Okay, they have it somewhere. Matthew?
I was going to say pray for boldness.
Prayer, guys. Prayer probably should precede getting up off the couch. Get your mind right, and the Lord will get your mind right. Will.
I think sometimes it's just like planning to go out, you know, and then stick to that.
Yeah. So, plan your work and work your plan, right? Make a plan. Go. Because, you know, honestly, if Jack Larson didn't make a plan and say, hey, what day are we doing this? Okay, Luke, tell me a day, and we're going to do it. We're going to have our stuff ready. If you don't make the plan, you don't go. So you have to set aside time and that kind of stuff. That's a good point. What else? Mike?
A goal or a destination.
Okay, you got to have a goal. What's the goal?
The soul.
I like that. I like Nolan's message the other night. The soul purpose, right? Is the soul. Wow, hands are going up. Do we have this much on go? Wow, this is good. Lorenzo, what you got?
Think of those around you who you can reach out first.
So I think that's exactly. That's a good thing. Maybe part of this plan and part of in our prayer. Like a lot of times in my prayer, guys, I identify like these are people that, you know, and if you meet somebody somewhere and you have a good interaction with them, come back and write down their name and start praying for them. Then you can, so. What did you say? How'd you say that?
Start where you're at. I guess, as specific person.
Specific people or specific person in mind. You got the fishing hole that you know you're gonna try to hit, right? You're not just gonna be going out, hey, let's see if we can find, like, you have a place in motion or a place in that your destination where you're going to do that fishing, Super Dave?
Listen.
Uh-huh. Let's put that one above top. Shouldn't we? And that's going to tell someone if you care. You know, I know this about myself. Sometimes I talk too much. It's like, sometimes you just got to be quiet and listen. Especially early on, you don't know where, you aren't going to be able to identify what Nolan was talking about, those opportunities. If you don't listen, people will tell you where they're at if you listen. People want somebody to care. You start talking to them, and it's amazing what they'll tell you. Incident last night I'm thinking of, and had some studies that were canceled, so the family and I spent some time. We went out together actually to visit Matthew where he was working. I ended up talking to one of his coworkers. It was really slow in there, and nice lady, and I found out all sorts of stuff. You know, that it's a good opportunity for some follow-up down the road. But you listen to people. They want to tell you stuff. So that's a good one. Alright, guys. I think that's maybe the one other thing I might add in here is, like, meet people. You know what? I think one of the things that you, at some point you run out of, maybe you've talked to everybody that you know about Christ. That's happened to me. Like all your, you know, Lorenzo, you were saying you identify specific people. You know, maybe you got your relatives and these are people you want to tell first and then they've either become Christians or they've rejected it. Okay? And sometimes there's a tendency to keep going back to the same people even though they've said no because there's no further rejection. We have to be willing to meet people. That's part of going. I'm going to shift to the next one right after Mike's comment here.
Well, in kind of in all of this, in order to talk, in order to meet people, in order to equip, in order to get up off the couch, all those things can include in where is our focus? Because I, for one, have missed opportunities that afterwards I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
You know, hit my forehead, like, that was an opportunity.
Exactly. Amen. I think prayer really, really is essential, guys, in that. Just to shape the way that we think, to shape that focus. You know, Kevin says it well, three things, you know. You gotta know Jesus, you gotta know who you are in Christ, and you gotta know your purpose in Christ. Purpose does put power in living. If you don't have a purpose, you don't have any power in your life, you're never gonna do this. So, that's good. So be prepared. I'm going to kind of follow up on Rich's. If you know, what if you don't have any? What if you get there and you don't have any fishing equipment? All you're going to do is have a picnic, right? And sometimes we go and we want to engage somebody in conversation, and then all we have was a little social interaction. You know, the opportunities aren't always there, but typically, guys, if you can talk to somebody within 5 minutes, you should be talking about something real. If you're not talking with somebody about something real within 5 minutes, then you're probably wasting. You're wasting time. You're wasting up. You know, again, some of these things have to be present. Like, you have to like people. You have to care about them. They have to see that. But, you know, I'm not saying you already have the Bible necessarily always cracked open to a book, chapter, and verse. But, I mean, you're talking about something real in their life. You're talking about marriage. Or you're talking about, you know, truth. You're talking, I mean, the political realm right now is all sorts of opportunities to talk about, you know, our society and where we're at and why we're here. You know, there's opportunities. We'd be talking about something real so we can follow that up. Otherwise, if we're not equipped, you know, then that's all we're going to do. It's a, you know, a social picnic. And so I will also say this, early on, you're going to spend a majority of your time, in a sense, preparing. I remember when one of the times we went, the first time Caleb ever went, and Caleb's a lot like me, and I was his buddy, and I'm not a great fisherman myself, so I wasn't. But, man, we spent a lot of time untangling those lines. You know, you get them. We catch rocks, you know, basically. Get them stuck in it. You have to go. Hey, that happens, doesn't it? Especially if you don't know where to go. You're not in the right place. You're, guys, that happens. And that's part of the learning process. You can't. Most of us aren't going to skip that part of it. You know, I was actually thankful my buddy Levi's been go getting them, and you know, he's had a couple people that we were supposed to study together, and they, you know, two of them no-showed. He's had some show, and that's great. But two no-shows. I was like, you know, I told him I'm actually kind of thankful in a way that this happened to you. Because it happens. It's part of the program. You just know people will say yes and not really mean it. It just happens. And so you have to be used to that and you know, don't get frustrated about it.
There's a lot of reasons for that.
Sometimes there's legitimate reasons.
Well, yeah. They'll get over and say, I'm supposed to see this guy tomorrow night. And he's going to teach me about Jesus. And then he's talking. It's probably just another one of those people wants you to come to the church and bring your pocketbook.
Yeah. Exactly. You start talking to their, you know, somebody talks them out of it, right? They, you know, the wife goes home and tells her husband, "Hey, let's do this." He's like, "Shh. You know, how much did you get taken by last month at the, you know, what? This is just another." Or whatever, right? That, yeah, people, and sometimes, guys, it's just easier to say yes than no, but you don't mean it. You know, and so those are things, sometimes we can push some things, we get better at pushing some stuff early on in our spiritual conversations and see if they respond to that, but it's just part of the process, and so don't get frustrated. You know, you run into snags, you gotta untangle them, okay? And stay with it. You know, one of the things I found, man, people when things are going bad in their life, man, they're ready to talk. And then you come back a week later and, you know, things have kind of taken an upturn and, you know, yeah, I'll keep you around in my back pocket, you know, when something bad, hey, that's, okay, fish aren't biting, you know? There, so, but stay with it. After a while you get good. You know, you have to know what they're biting on. You know, what sort of bait are you going to use? You know, sometimes it can be worms, sometimes lures. Some of you guys that are fly fishermen, you know the right, you know, John Moranzi, this time of year, this is, you know, and to just be aware. You know, and so, you know, there's some basic things, guys, we want to be able to talk with people about. Creation, evolution. Most people, at least, are open to a conversation about where'd you come from. How'd we get here? Kids ask that question. Almost every kid I know at some point asked that question. So everybody's asked that question probably once in their life. You come back to it, and you know, there's some answers, you know. How about, you know, I already mentioned politics, you know, family stuff. A lot of people have, I had a situation today, I was getting my hair cut. Rough place where I get my hair cut. And there's a guy in, his girlfriend, they had the kid together, and when some guy just got married, and they're having a conversation, and this guy, yeah, I gotta remind her, I'm the king of my castle. I was like, hey, careful. I was like, just warn you. I said, I'm a preacher. I said, you don't want me starting to tell you about how to be the king of the castle. And he goes, but you know what? I was joking, but I was serious. And he took it good. And we had a good conversation. And after, you know, he asked me where I preached, and then we had a conversation. He was like, man, my pleasure to meet you. And what I'm saying is, people got relationship problems a lot. That's an easy one, right? So go there, have the conversation with them. You know, do that fishing. And the purpose, guys, is to make it. To make it natural. You know, we go with me to Colossians really quickly. all the equipment, you know, there's expensive equipment, and the main difference, I think, in the expensive equipment versus the cheap equipment for fishing is how natural it looks. You know, you'd be able to put that fly out there naturally, or if it's going to be not quite right, you know. And so we want, you know, we want to be natural. And so these things, you know, Paul asked for prayers in Colossians 4, and you know, that he would make clear in the way he ought to speak. And then in verse 5, in that context, he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so you may know how you should respond to each person. We have a message of good news, guys. There's opportunities. There's a way to, you know, we pray and then we conduct ourselves with wisdom and we find those opportunities. And so it does, you know, it's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some effort. You have to care enough to be willing to go through the process. You know, when they nibble, I'm not much of a fisherman, but I know, you know, Larry, this is what you're talking about, when to give it a little jerk, right? You know, you can't, guys, follow up is so important. So we go, right? And part of making disciples, though, is we have to follow up. You know, it's amazing to me how many times we do have these opportunities, like Mike was saying, and we miss them. We didn't go. But then there's an opportunity. And there was a lady today that I just followed up, and I've been telling Julie, man, I gotta follow up with this lady. And then finally today I had the opportunity, but it's like, if you don't follow up, you can have good spiritual conversations, but you gotta turn those spiritual conversations into some Bible open, what are your questions, what are your objections, let's go through this time. You have to turn it into something. And again, this is where prayer and focus and all this stuff's important, because otherwise we have conversations and then we don't follow up, and there was a huge missed opportunity. And so, you know, with your Bible studies too, give them relevant resources, you know, and studies. We have great tools. We find an interest and, you know, feed them. Give them a little opportunities for homework. And those are some things I can do better myself. You know, there's certain things that somebody catches something, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, and I give them stuff. But I think, you know, just giving everybody, you know, that once they get some of that interest, find something and give it to them. Give them an opportunity to learn more themselves and to progress and to see if they'll be tracking along with you.
Well, I just have an opportunity with my of October, but when you announced on Lord's Day evening what we're going to do with shotgun preaching, he come over Monday, and we just started talking. I was like, you know, his name is Virgil. I said, Virgil, you know, I got some homework coming up, and do you have any questions about the Bible at all? And then before he could answer, I'm thinking, oh no, what did I just, oh, you know, I just opened up. Being equipped, you know, knowing, having confidence in what you know, and So anyways, he goes, oh, yeah, I got a lot of questions. It was like, okay, here we go. But, of course, he was asking off-the-wall questions. And so that, it's now the ball is rolling.
That's great.
Now I just got it. Like you said, keep seeing him every day, and
follow up.
Follow up.
Yep, and direct some of those guys. That's a, that's a good point. That one other thing in my, I'm assuming we all do this in our life. I stick my neck out and make commitments so that I'm kind of like stuck to follow through. Because if you don't, like when it comes down to, you're gonna have a hard time kicking yourself off that couch, right? So make those commitments. And then one thing I would say, guys, if there is one discussion that you want to figure, it rarely does it go according to the plan. You can review this discussion multiple times in your head before you ever have it. And I'm going to tell you, even if it doesn't go according to the plan, it's still helpful. Before you step on a track and you run a race, you run that thing a lot of times in your head. Okay? Jeremy City was talking about back in the days when he and Billy were dating. When you are asking for that date, you're having that conversation multiple times in your head. Okay? Lots of times it doesn't go exactly, but still the preparation, the thinking about it ahead of time, like you at least have something to say. You're not like, my name, You have something to say because you've thought about it, right? So, and I would say, guys, one great place to put energy is in that first. I talked about this, I think, when I got back from the Philippines, but that initial information about how we would determine a source of truth. We pretty quickly, if you're going to have any sort of study that has any sort of potential, you're going to have to get to a way that we can determine what our authority is. And so I think that's the most important place to prepare and to even, role play with each other and ask yourself questions and pray about. And to practice. And that's where, like Larry said, you're going to get better experience. You just got to practice. And you realize. And be honest. Sometimes I've been with people and Bible says, and I say, how do you think the study went? Oh, it went great. No, it really didn't. You have to be honest about what transpired there. Did you do a good job? Are they receiving? Are they understanding? Are they getting it? Do we need to hit it from another angle? So, you care about this and think about it. And then, guys, sometimes when they are on the hook, they start thrashing around, right? You got to reel them in. Okay? I mean, how many of us, and we're here, because we did care, but there's those sticky spots where you're fighting it when you're not in Christ. I would venture that probably every single one of us almost to some degree fought this thing even once we knew, because the flesh doesn't want to die. So don't make it easy on them. Reel them in. There's a fight within themselves. So don't let them go. Do your part. You can't make choices for them, but do your part. Follow up and give them the help they need and keep letting them know you care about them. I like this part. No catch and release here. Hey. You catch whatever you catch. There are no size, requirements. It can be a tiny little guy, and the Lord can make that fish grow. Hey, that dragnet, that thing's going to catch everything. Well, I suppose some can get through but, the Lord will determine that, guys. At the end, He talks about that. The angels can come in. And so, you don't have to decide whether or not somebody's going to make it. You gotta go and fish and catch them. Let the Lord's gonna sort through that. And I think sometimes we spend too much mental energy, trying to decide whether or not somebody's gonna make it, or then maybe they're in the church and we try to sit there, I think the Lord's got that part of it handled pretty well. Okay? Go fish. Yes, Michael.
Seeing as how I brought up, why don't you come to my church? Don't even mention church. Don't even say the word. Just ask basic questions. Do you know that everybody dies? we're all going to die.
Amen.
What then?
Yep. That's right, Michael. Yep. Jeff and I, we had a study with some people in Manila, and that's the question we ended up talking about, you know? And so, you know, I mean, I don't think it's always wrong to invite somebody to assembly because, you know, sometimes that's the avenue. But just know, guys, you know, I warn people, if they do come to assembly, if like, you don't get your hair blown back in this place. You know, you're gonna hear some stuff that's like super controversial. You're not gonna, so like if you come, like be ready for it. And if you have questions, let's talk about it. But like, I just warn people. I say we're not one of these places that, you know, we don't make people feel good. We just preach what the Bible says. So I'm just warning you ahead of time. You're welcome to come, but just be ready. Right? And then if they want to come, great. But lots of times I don't, you know, I first talk about, hey, some of these questions. You want to sit down and open the Bible, and you got any Bible questions, and that's where I like to start. But sometimes people want to, hey, go ahead, come on in. I'm not a, you know, the Scripture does talk about unbelievers entering. Nothing wrong with that. It's just, that's not going to be the primary means by which the lost are saved. The primary means of the gathering together is for the equipping of the saints. We just want to remember that, okay, always. So, you know, guys, I don't have time to go through some of these other things, but, you know, we make disciples, we have tools, we follow through, we're our example in our life, care about people, you know, follow up with them, be, you know, help them out where you can, but don't, you know, let them take advantage either, because lots of people are just looking for a free lunch or whatever, but, you know, you're building them to be, excuse me, to be disciples, to follow Christ. Go with me to Luke chapter 5. You know, one of the things we have to do, guys, is be willing to... Sometimes we do get tired and we wonder, you know, do this again. One of the things I pray for is that the Lord would lead me to people who are interested. You know, is our God able to do that? Like, he's a great God. Is he looking for people who are looking for him? Can he help us, you know, our paths cross? You know, and give those... So, you know, I'd like a little help in this process. I don't want to just be blindly fishing. So ask the Lord for those things, and he'll help us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 3... Now, Jesus got into one of the boats, which is Simon's, asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began teaching the multitudes from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing." Who was the better fisherman, you think? Peter or Jesus? I mean, okay, but who would you expect to be the better fisherman? Peter, that's his family business, right? He said, "Lord, we did, but at your bidding, I'll let down the nets." When they'd done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. Their nets began to break. Because Jesus knows what he's doing. He tells you to cast again, cast again. Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, that's true too, right? So, but, you know, sometimes, and I'm not talking about some little voice in your head, but when there's opportunities that present themselves, and people are ready at different times, you might even think in your own life, some people talked to you before, and you blew it off. And then later, they came, you know, and thankfully you were ready then. So, you know, Jesus does know where the fish are. He can lead you to them. John 21, you guys can read about that. I do want to just close with this thought. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. I know that we didn't hit a ton of scriptures here, but I hope that as we worked through this, guys, that this helps you. Just push it to the front of your mind. The important things. What's it going to take to really go and to engage people? I don't want to leave this part out. In verse 49, "So it will be at the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." You know, the angels are going to come and take out the wicked from among the righteous. It doesn't sound like the rapture. Sounds like the opposite of that concept, actually. And, you know, there is a final day. Guys, the day of judgment is real. Like you were saying, Michael, you need to ask people, you know, you're going to die. What happens when you die? You know, hell is not something that people want to talk about. And a lot of groups are out there in an attempt to deny the existence of that. But hell is real. You know, Jesus, there's 11 times that Jesus talks about hell. It was on his mind. It was a motivator. It needs to be for us as well. Here he doesn't use the word hell, but he talks about a painful place. A weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, personally, if we don't want to go there, we got to bite the bait. And anybody that wants to go to heaven got to take truth, okay? And seize it. You know, we know what a lot of that entails. I'll just a final reminder for us, guys: be faithful until death, at a personal level. You know, there's good fish and there's bad fish. You think the Lord's going to have a tough time sorting those out? No. Be faithful until death. You know, there are at least two beings in this heavenly realm and earth below that know what kind of fish you are. The Lord and you. You know that. So know it. And then be a good fish and then become a fisherman of men. And let's get fishing. Let's have fun. Let's have fun doing it together. You know, there's a lot of different ways we can do it. Have fun. What do they say? A bad day of fishing? Better than a good day at work? You know, hey, we're here, guys. We're in this. We're on this planet. Okay, we're stuck here until Christ comes again or until we get to kick the bucket joyfully. Hey, while we're here, we might as well have some fun, right? And the best, most fun there is fishing for men. A bad day of fishing is still better than a good day doing anything else. Well, let's have fun together. I appreciate you guys as a congregation. I really do. It is a great joy for me to get to team up with some of you guys in particular. And when we do that, the fellowship is built the most when we do this kind of stuff together. So have fun. Let's be united and let's have some good fun fishing. And if the Lord particularly blesses us, we're going to catch a couple big ones.